Hey everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is June 9th, 2020. This is Season 2, Episode 42. My name is Dan Curry. Welcome everyone. If you're in your car, if you're at home, if you're watching live, if you're listening later, welcome to everyone. This is a show where we talk about video games. We have a lot of fun doing it. And I would like to introduce my friend Clinton. How are you, Clinton?
I'm doing well. I am doing well.
Good to hear. Everything good on your in your neck of the woods?
I said it twice. Now I'm super reassured.
I mean, everything's pretty normal here as far as normal can be right now.
Right. Our new normal. And Neil. That's Neil in New York City. How are you, Neil?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Good. All right. We got no follow-ups today.
No. I mean, look, I've been in my house for the last 5 months. I haven't had time to make a new story for anyone. Nothing exciting has happened to me. I got a new AC.
Oh, that's exciting. You guys kind of sounded defensive. Like, like I was trying to get something out of you. I'm good.
I feel like 4 months into this quarantine, all of my phone conversations with friends have been like, how are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. No news is good news and all that.
You're right. Yeah, no kidding. So what video games have you guys been dabbling in this last week?
Overwatch.
Yeah. Overwatch.
Golf with your friends.
My God. That's still so much fun. It Everybody that fun. Has an we Xbox. Played
that. Yes, we played that last week too. Okay. So fun.
Valorant.
Dan's really bad at it. Can we talk about that for a second?
At golf with your friends?
So bad.
Dan, you love golf games. I don't get it.
Do I love golf games? I guess.
Well, I wouldn't say that. You're not playing like PGA Tour.
No. I like silly, fun golf games. Huge fan of Golf Story. Fan of Golf with Your Friends.
Mario
fan
Golf.
Of Infinite Mini Golf. Yeah, some Mario Golf. Yeah, but I'm terrible at this one. I just cannot get the meter right. And the thing is, like, I have one or two holes. Like, I'll keep up for a little bit, and he'll be like, "Dan's doing okay." And then there'll be one where it's like, "What the fuck am I doing?" And I'll just get so far behind, and there's no way I'm ever gonna catch up.
You tied me once.
I beat you by one that one time.
Oh yeah, you did. You're right.
And then we tied another time. And then you beat me every single other time. And not just like by a little bit, by so much.
I always do really well until there's like one hole that I just, something happens and can't figure it out, or you get stuck somewhere that you can't get out of.
And then, like, I gotta just not take the risks. Because there'll be a lot of holes where it's like, well, if you go this way, it's going to be like a normal par. But if you go this way, you're going to do great, but it's going to be really hard. And I'm like, I'm good at this. No, I'm not. I've shown time and time again, I'm not good at it. I just need to go the way that's going to take longer, but is more consistent.
It's still a lot of fun. But other than that, I have and played Valorant on computer. It's fun. People get really into it and kind of like real sweaty about it. So
they get real sweaty.
I'm just not trying to do that.
CSGO child. So
yeah.
I'm sure I got some of the same community who are notorious for being one of the worst communities.
But I'm not trying to do that. So I, and it's the people that I play with, my friends. So after a few games of that, when they start getting too competitive, I just stop. Like, I'm out. We go play something else. But I played a bit of League in that, and then I really dove back into No Man's Sky, actually.
Which has been why?
I don't know. I was running through things on my Xbox, and it was in there, so I was like, huh, I'm going to play that. And I think I've done more in the last week than I did prior to. Like, I, like, picked it up, and I was like, man, I do not remember how to play this at all. And then just started digging into things and found a bunch of stuff that I don't think I did before. So I got all the glyphs so I can teleport to different things through the portals now. And a few other things. I figured out how to upgrade my ships, which I hadn't figured out before. Got a really nice multi-tool. But yeah, I haven't started building a base yet, which I need to do.
I'm excited for you to try it, Dan. Yeah. I don't think it'll hold you forever, much like it did me. It's only 9 gigs? That's not right.
It's not very big. It's all just, like, procedurally generated, so.
Okay. But yeah, that'll be on Game Pass soon. Try it out if you like those. It's not really a survival game.
You can play it as a survival game. I guess it doesn't have, like, food or, like, water meters, but it has, like, you have to keep track of your oxygen. You have to have, like, radiation and toxin and heat and cold barriers and things that you have to keep track of, and fuel for your ship and stuff. It doesn't have, like, food, whatever, but you have all those things you have to kind of manage. But yeah, I mean, I just played on normal, which is fine. It's not very survival-y in normal, but there is, like, a hardcore mode and a survival mode, which has makes it a little bit harder. And, like, you can't carry as much stuff, and I think things use more fuel or whatever, so it's just, like, a lot more resource-intensive. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I think my next thing is, once I get my ship up, once I find a ship that I like, I've been, like, just hanging out in the truck stops or whatever you want to call them, trying to find a new ship so that I can buy it and switch it out. Because the one that I have now is, it's cool. It's got a really good jump range on it, but it's not very, like, sleek looking. I want, like, a cool looking one.
That was a really fun part of the game for me. I think I spent more time kind of, you kind of just scope out ships. There's places where everybody, not like real people, but just where ships come and go.
Yeah.
And whenever one lands, you can go and you can see how much they're selling it for. They also sell, everybody sells random goods you can just buy for them. But typically you can, like, sell your own ship at the same time you're buying another ship, so it'll tell you how much you need to cover. But that was really fun. It hits the inner collector in you if you have that.
So I'm just trying to
try it.
I'm like 40-50 hours in now at this point. I have a shit ton of credits. I've just been grinding credits recently so that I can buy a cool ship if I come across it. And there's like three different kinds of, like, currency, I guess. There's the credits, which are just regular money. There's these things called nanites, which you use to upgrade modules and things in your ship so you can go faster, shoot stronger things, and tank better shields. And then there's this thing called Quicksilver, which is, like, for cosmetic upgrades and, like, stuff that you can decorate your bases with. And that one is, like, you can only get 250 of it a day, and you have to do, like, a special mission in the thing called, like, the anomaly at the Nexus. It's like the community goals kind of thing. So,
interesting. Yeah, when that game came out, I was so excited and jealous because my friend, it was for PlayStation originally. My friend had it, and then he was like, "Don't be jealous. This game is awful." Yeah. But now they've done so much stuff to it. I'm excited for it to come to Game Pass.
There's a lot in it.
Nice. On my end, played Overwatch. We talked about that. I played and beat BioShock, but we are discussing that on another episode, so I'm just going to hold on to that. Then my game I've been playing by myself is Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars on my SNES Classic.
Right, okay.
So if you don't know this game, if you're a fan of Paper Mario, this is kind of like the precursor to that. I was on the SNES. If I remember correctly, I believe it was a Square Enix Nintendo collaboration. So it was kind of a Final Fantasy Mario kind of thing. It's turn-based combat, same kind of thing with Paper Mario, where you have an option when you're attacking to press a button or do something at a certain time to make your attack stronger, and when you're being attacked, press a button at a certain time to defend yourself. It's really fun. It holds up. You know, the graphics are SNES graphics, but they're not 16-bit. They are kind of like that Donkey Kong kind of weird 3D situation, but it's top-down isometric. And it's I think the good thing about those kind of games is they hold up because there's not what's going to go bad. You know what I mean? It's not like you need to do things quickly or it's just turn-based combat. So still really fun. It's different than other Mario games, and having a good time. I think nice. I have 2 of the 7 stars so far. So it's like a 20-hour game too. I've probably been 3-4 hours. So it does have some annoying parts where I think they were trying to elongate the game by having parts where it's just like a maze where it's like you have no idea where to go. There's no hints of where to go. You kind of just have to go through these woods, and it's kind of like the Lost Woods in like Mario 60 or in Ocarina of Time, where it's just like, oh, I hope I go the right way. Like, so yeah. There are some points like that where it's more of a puzzle just to figure out where to go. But if I just get tired, I just look it up and move forward, and it's fun.
Wait, is there a Lost Woods in Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask?
I've never played Majora's Mask, so there's definitely...
Yeah, right at the beginning of Ocarina of Time, there's like tunnels that you walk through, and there's like 4 directions.
Yeah, there's... All right.
And it's got the best Zelda song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some of that stuff in there. So
when I turn on my Xbox, it goes do-do-do. And it always makes me think of the Song of Storms.
Song of Storms, yeah. One of my favorite video game songs.
It's fun to go back and play something a little older that holds up. That's fun. So, and then the only other, well, I guess 2 things, but one small, is Clubhouse Games. Clinton and I both got Clubhouse Games for Switch. I am super happy with it. I think if you have a Switch, this is a game that you definitely want to get eventually. It's fun to play alone. It's fun to play with friends. I played a couple games with my wife. Clinton and I got on and played. Some people have complained about the online being laggy. Have you had any? I don't know if you've played online.
I just played with you the one time.
Yeah, I played with Clinton. I played a lot against strangers, and I only had 2 issues of lag. I found out that I love Moncala, which I didn't know. So I've been playing a lot of that, and one time one game was like super laggy, and then once it was done I was like, I don't want to play with this guy anymore, and it was fine from then. And then another game I was playing Ludo, which is kind of like Sorry, and it was getting really laggy, and then one guy, I don't know if he got booted or he quit, but as soon as he was gone it was fine. I think it's kind of odd because almost everything is turn-based. I mean, there's hockey and baseball and things like that you would need to be on at the same time, but for the turn-based games it's really weird because it seems like you're watching them take their turn. And I think, and I'm not a game developer, it seems like they could get rid of the lag if you took your turn and then it showed what you did to the other player as opposed to you watching them at the same time.
Yeah
But I don't know.
Just not as immersive, I guess, is probably what they strive to get.
My favorite thing about it is the sounds. The sounds of that game. Clinton, do you have that feeling too?
Of what feeling?
Just the sounds are so great. They're so amazing.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, like, you feel like them, like, moving pieces around or whatever. They sound really good. I don't know. It sounds great.
Dan gets some ASMR from them.
Yes, definitely. Like, I never really experienced ASMR, but I think that's kind of the closest I can get. Like, the sound of, like, the pieces moving around.
Yeah.
And, like, Moncala things hitting, like, the board. And
you've experienced ASMR. You've been jamming to Dave alone in your car, and it really starts banging, and then you start tingling at the top of your head. That's ASMR.
Yeah, I don't really ever get, like, a head tingle, even with this. It just
You ever sounds... get a body tingle? Nothing?
No.
I've definitely felt it.
So, but this is probably the closest I get. It just feel like it's just something about those sounds are so cool. Kotaku even did like one guy did a compilation of his favorite sounds from the game. The only disappointments I have are the biggest one is poker is not good.
It's not at all. You can only bet five. Mm-hmm. You can't like change your bet at all.
Yep. You can only bet and raise by five. You can't change that. There's only 5 or 10 round options instead of a last man standing, which is how poker is normally played. And if you play against the AI, it's really bad. But you just get into situations where I play online and it's like, okay, there's 2 rounds left. One guy has hundreds of more chips than the rest of us because he won a big pot. And now we can't catch up because we can't bet that much. And he just keeps folding because why does he give a shit? Because it's going to end in 2 rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that's annoying. And then it makes me think, like, because it's 51 games from all over the world. So there's all these games from all these different countries. And it makes me think, like, are there other games from other countries that I've just learned that I'm learning incorrectly? Because poker's wrong. So what else could be wrong? And then the other thing is, like, and one thing that it's just a small thing that bothers me in Ludo, which is like, sorry, you can have up to 4 pieces and you actually have to like click around. It's actually one of the games I actually would rather play handheld because you can use a touch screen and it works super well. But if you're playing like on your TV with your Joy-Cons, instead of like when you press left or right, it's shifting through your 4 pieces. The only things you're allowed to move, you actually have to like move each space around the board, your cursor, grab your piece and then move it. And that's really minor, but it's like, why doesn't it just shuffle through the 4 pieces I'm allowed to touch?
It should just snap. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the games have like a guide that makes it a lot easier. So in Moncala, for example, you can press a button. It'll give you a guide to show like, if you move these marbles, they'll end up in this space. So you don't have to like sit and count everything. It kind of makes everything move quicker. And you get into games so fast, whether you're by yourself or with someone else. Like when I first handed the controller to Courtney, she was like, "What, we're going?" I was like, "Yeah, this is great. Like it, you just play." There's not a lot of like garbage up front, which is nice. So
nice.
Yeah, and they do a really good job at teaching you how to play. There's multiple ways to learn. There's like little videos at the beginning that explain it, give history on the game, and there's press a button, you open up a manual basically for each game and you're good to go. So it's fun. I've played almost every game so far. The 2 I haven't played are the Mahjong, but not the solitaire one. Because there's like 32 different hands, and I didn't learn that yet. And then there's that Japanese game that has the pictures. Have you played that one, Clint?
Hanafuda?
Yeah, I do not understand that one. So I have to go back and try it again.
Are you playing Richemazon?
Yeah, that's the one I haven't played either, because I opened it up, and it was pretty late at night, and I was like, there's 33 different hands you can get, so people always need guides. And I was like, I think I'm going back out of this one right now.
Yeah.
So...
But it does a good job of explaining. It's like, it's like, here, you just go for these, like, get 4 3 of a kind or 7 pairs. Like, that's the hand you want to go for.
Yeah, so, like, and there's a game that's similar to chess, but not really. I can't remember.
Shogi.
Yeah, Shogi, which is a lot of fun, and they have you just play like little scenarios that say like that kind of explain like 1 or 2 rules at a time. So there's like little tutorials and stuff. Shogi is a lot of fun. I really enjoy that game too.
Nice. Right. I'll look into it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get it for $40 just cause I don't have anyone to play with me directly. But I do like all of those games and I do love card games.
I mean, you could definitely play with us for sure. It's real easy to make a lobby and play, which is nice. Much better than Mario Party.
Which you can't.
Basically.
I got back into a bunch of Battle Royales. I'm not playing anything like single player after I just beat Sekiro last week. I'm chilling on single player story missions. But we jumped back into Call of Duty Warzone, which is still fun. I just like how massive it is, and I never really care if I die. Like, even if I die in second place, I'm like, hey, that's fun. I got second out of all the people. I don't really care if I win. Same with Apex. I really enjoy Apex. And we also played a little, obviously, Overwatch and Stardew Valley, which Dan and I are rapidly approaching $10 million to buy the most expensive item in the game. I think we're like halfway there, but we're making more money than we ever have.
Yeah, definitely. It was like, it's pretty exponential at this point. The amount of money we're making, and it's fun. It's kind of getting to the point where we just kind of go to bed early because we're out of stuff to do. But we are building another shed and getting it filled with more kegs to make more wine. And
it's such a fun, I mean, yeah, it's a time waster, but the music still kicks. I mean, I've never lost my love for it.
Yeah, it's like once you find something new to do, you're gung ho on it. And it gives you like a, you have to kind of, we're at the point where we have to make our own things to do while we're doing this overarching thing of getting to 10 million gold. So we're going to see in the movies every season.
Those are fun.
Some of them are better than others. I think the best one is definitely the Halloween one.
Yeah.
So that's a good time. And we both have kids. Do you have two kids now? No, you're about to have your second kid.
I'm about to have my second kid.
Yep.
I had my second kid. His name is Cyrus.
Nice. It's great. Once we hit that 10 million and we get that thing, I think that's going to be where I'm like, we have to kind of not play for a minute until the next update. And we've also discussed, you know, once we take a big long break, trying out a different map and starting over because we've really only played the farm.
Do you guys know why I like the name Cyrus so much?
What?
Do you guys know why I like the name Cyrus so much?
No.
Actually, it's not why, because I don't like this character at all, but the first time I heard it was the main villain in the Charlie's Angels movie with Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu and Drew Barrymore. But, man, I heard that Irish guy with the name Cyrus, and I was like, fuck yeah. Cyrus. That's
your go-to.
And he's a bad guy, too.
What map did you say is fun, Glenn?
Do the quadrant map, and then keep your money separate.
Yeah, that might be a fun way to go.
That would suck for Dan. I make all the money. Farming. You do the long-term and beautification farm projects. I got the farm rolling. I did the animals.
But I was doing like most of the wine and then jelly.
And then once we had the crops to wine and jelly, yes.
Yeah, anyways. But if we started knowing it was going to be separate, it'd be a whole different ballgame.
I like the shared money, and I think you can do more with shared money.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think it would just be a different game style. Yeah.
I guess you're right.
I feel like if we did that, I'd almost want to get four people to do it.
Yeah,
because it is a quadrant. So
yeah.
Well, you can each take two of them or whatever.
That's true as well.
That's true.
Because each one has like a special thing with it, right? Doesn't one have a little quarry and one has a pond or something?
Yeah, one is a pond, one is a quarry. The one has the normal house, and then one has tree stumps, I think, maybe.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure, though.
Hardwood, gotcha. But yeah, that's it for me. I'm looking for my next big thing. I dipped my toe into Red Dead, but it's not. Maybe, I don't know. Rockstar games are never for me. It's just too big. I'm sure it's great, but I just don't think I have the patience for it right now.
It's fair.
But anyways,
let's talk about our main topic. This week we're talking about Easter eggs in video games, of course. So I guess let's start with just kind of a general, Neil, I don't know if you still have the definition up, but what exactly an Easter egg is. And I think we kind of have slightly different opinions about what they are, but do you want to hit us with that definition that you saw?
Earlier? Yeah.
Can we talk about how, sorry, I'm just going to interrupt here. Wearing a mask all day makes my beard go backwards under my chin and come back.
He got a little like crimp. Is that like the wave?
Yeah. it's okay.
It's going to be like permanently like.
I have permanent headset hair right now. It doesn't matter what I do after I shower. I have this stuff that I cannot get to stay down. We're all going to come out of this looking weird.
I'm just going to put some makeup on, pull this hair down over my eye, and hate my parents. That's my plan. An Easter egg commonly used to mean a message, image, or feature hidden in a video game, film, or other piece of electronic media.
Yeah. So I guess kind of where we differ slightly is like, what's the difference between a secret and an Easter egg? And does it have to be a reference to something else?
I think it depends on your genre. I think an Easter egg has to have absolutely no bearing on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it can add fun flavor to the story, but I don't think it should be. I don't think it is necessary to understand the full complexity. Well, not the full complexity, but like where you started and how you finished the game. You mm-hmm. should know A to B. Right. I also think it should be cosmetic. Like, I don't think it should reward you with anything.
I disagree with that.
I think the Easter egg is the reward. I don't think it should change your character.
Yeah,
my example later. We'll see.
As far as
could be an Easter egg.
As far as like what I'd like them to be, yeah, I'd agree with that. But as far as like what they actually are, I don't think they have to be just purely like non-game changing secrets.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I can agree with Clinton on that. Because my specific example that I'm going to talk about later, the cosmetic almost is the Easter egg to some extent, or is at least a part of it.
Well, here, how about this? In doing a research, I found a bunch, and not the main one I'm going to talk about. So let's go through the ones I know.
Yeah,
and we can figure out Easter egg or not Easter egg.
Okay,
it's a fun little Easter game.
This kind of started when before the show we were talking about. We all looked up some Easter eggs, and Clinton brought up the point like, I think there's some people who don't know what an Easter egg is. Yeah, because it's like, no, that's just part of the game.
So easy one, I think we all agree on. And if you're playing Overwatch, when you're in the castle on the Eichenwald level, there is a Dark Souls bonfire in a room. It's in a back room, but it's not necessarily hidden. It's just like kind of an off route.
Yeah, and I don't think Easter eggs necessarily need to be hidden either. I think they can just be references. Classic, I think that's a classic, basic Easter egg example.
Cool. Borderlands 2 or 3, you can find the double rainbow guy. You find a random cliff and you can drop down onto it and there's a tent. You can't see inside of it, but you hear a guy just going, "Oh, wow, it's a double," and just screaming. I think it's a psycho, actually, whoever voices one of the crazy guys screaming about a double rainbow. That is the reference. Yeah.
Yeah. To a video. Also, that guy just passed away recently.
Oh.
Double rainbow guy. Yeah.
Well.
Thanks, Dan.
Trying to bring it all down.
Pour a double rainbow out for him.
Debbie Downer.
What was the other one I was going to say? Oh, here's what weird one I saw. So in the Metal Gear Solid one I played, where I was Solid Snake or Metal, whatever it was.
That was Big Boss.
Big Boss, when you play that game, you enter your birthday or whatever the birthday of your character is, and when you're playing on, if you play on the birthday you entered, you'll get a call to come back to base, and it sounds really urgent. But when you come back, you start hearing explosions, and when it gets closer, it turns out they're fireworks, and then the happy birthday starts playing on the like this huge distorted rock guitar, and then everybody throws Solid Snake a birthday party. Is that an Easter egg?
I don't know. Because is it an Easter egg in Animal Crossing when it's your birthday and they give you a gift, you know? Or is it just part of the gaming experience?
I don't know. I think that's two different things, though. Because, like,
yeah.
Animal Crossing is built around those little moments like that. Whereas Metal Gear Solid is not a game you'd expect to throw a birthday party for you.
Yeah.
So I would say in that case, yeah, I would call that an Easter egg.
I'm gonna say it's not like a super strong, like that's a definite like Easter egg, but I can agree that it is somewhat of an Easter egg.
Do you guys know of any that you disagree with?
The one that I saw that I was gonna research because I heard there's an Easter egg in Super Mario Galaxy 2, where there were like there's a cliff and there's creepy faces looking down at you. And so I did some research into this. Turns out they're not creepy faces. They're just trees that at this certain angle look like faces. And when you go up there, there's trees. And I don't think that's an Easter egg. I think that's just a graphical event. It's not a thing they put in there to be like, haha, this would be a funny joke or anything like that. So that I think that's
over analysis.
Yeah. So that's like something that I saw that was not an Easter egg. In my research, so that I think just things like that are not Easter eggs; they're just odd things. Yeah. Also, I do not believe an Easter egg is like in Donkey Kong or Mario, or Sonic or whatever a game where you just find a hidden area that's meant to be found. When you find the bonus levels and stuff, I think those are just secrets, bonus levels. I wouldn't consider them Easter eggs.
Okay. Clint, do you have any?
We were talking about that coin in Donkey Kong. I don't know how long, a year and a half ago, we talked about speedrunning. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talked about was a rainbow coin in Donkey Kong. I forget which one it was now. But there's 64,
I believe.
Yeah, so there's one of the Donkey Kong games. There's rainbow coins that you have to collect to get 100% in the game. And just by chance, someone was like running around slamming the ground, which is how you find a lot of the coins. And they just found a coin in the ground, in the tall grass that no one knew was there. And it really kind of threw a wrench in all of the speed runs of that game because all the 100%s were no longer 100% because it didn't have all the coins. But people were listing that as an Easter egg, which I don't know that if I'd call that an Easter egg. It's just a coin, like a gameplay element or whatever that no one had come across.
That's not an Easter egg. That's
like I get why people might consider it because it is just like a secret hidden coin, but like a lot of them are just hidden, and I wouldn't call them Easter eggs.
Yeah,
it's just a collectible.
And I don't think that also another example of something I don't think is an Easter egg is something where you have to hack or change the game or break the game to get to. It's there. It's findable in the vanilla version of a game that you're just playing and you can find it. Because that was another thing I found. Like, oh, this weird place in Skyrim that you go to and everybody you kill, that's where their bodies spawn. And it's like, in order to do this, you have to get into the files. And it's like, then that's not an Easter egg. That's just part of the game that was hidden from you on purpose to give the illusion of the world being real in some way.
Gotcha. Do you want me to list off a couple famous ones, or should we go into our main ones?
Hit us with some famous ones. I don't think ours are going to take super long unless you have big stories, but mine doesn't really have one.
They make no mention to it, but if you've played Bioshock, it's not a spoiler. Bioshock 1 starts with you going down in a plane crash. In the early levels of Bioshock 2, you're walking through the same city, but you're a different character. And you see the very same plane. They don't address it at all, but it's there. One of my favorite ones is if you haven't ever seen this awful movie, the Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. He famously gets in a refrigerator when he's in like a nuclear test site. And he gets in an old refrigerator and shuts it because that's supposedly supposed to shield you from a nuclear blast. He gets out and he's Indiana Jones. He lives. But in Fallout New Vegas, when you're walking in the nuclear test site, outside of it, you find a old fridge that is buried in the ground. And if you open it, there's a skeleton with a fedora. Indiana Jones's fedora in it. I like that one a lot. In Diablo 2, there is a level you can a hidden level you can find that is, I forgot what they named. It's a pun on bovines, but there's a portal to an evil cow universe, and all these cows stand on their hind legs with battle axes. Then you have to fight all these evil cows, and eventually you find the king evil cow. But what was funny about that is that somehow rumors got started in Diablo 1 that there was a cow level, which was very much probably someone just fucking with everyone. So the developers actually included an Easter egg in Diablo 2 for the cow level.
Nice.
Those are some of my favorite ones. Oh, and yeah. I think it was Doom 2. If you put in a cheat code and you kill the last boss in a certain way, you can go through this wall behind him, and there's this head on a stick. I forgot the guy's name, but it's one of the lead designers for Doom.
Yeah, he's the boss, right?
No, he's not the boss. He's behind the actual final boss. He's just a head on a stick. And if you kill him, well, you have to kill him. But he says, to beat Doom, you have to kill blank blank. His name. It's like Tony something, or I forget. Right? No. Anyways, but they put it in like distorted and backwards and demonic. But he didn't know about this Easter egg until like 2 or 3 days before the game shipped. And when he found out about it, he recorded that line and had him flip it and put it in the game.
Nice.
That one was pretty cool. But yeah, let's move on.
Clinton, do you want to start with an Easter egg that you found interesting? And Neil, you might want to restart your video.
Yeah, so I thought this one was not, it's not like crazy wild or super interesting, but it's funny. In Assassin's Creed 3, once you unlock one of the homesteads, so in that game you can whistle and call assassins to you. And there's a spot at that one of the like houses where you can whistle and a turkey will show up. And then if you put the Konami code in, the turkey gets a assassin's hood, where he's just wearing assassin's hood. Which is like, I mean, the Konami code at this point is just an Easter egg in and of itself. So like, using it to unlock things is always great.
Yeah.
There was another one I saw, I think it was in The Witcher 2, where he's walking around and you walk past a hay cart and you just see a white clad like robed figure face down and dead in the cart. And if you walk by it, Geralt will just go, I guess they never learn. in reference to them always jumping off building and living somehow.
Witcher, another one I saw of The Witcher, they had a couple of them in there. The Witcher and Grand Theft Auto 5 were the ones I kept finding. But The Witcher even has reference to Doctor Who. There's a section with the weeping angel statues where if you turn away from them, they come at you, I guess.
I don't know anything about Doctor Who.
Isn't that what they do? If you look away, they come at you, right, Clint? Yeah.
Yeah. But other ones, I mean, Rockstar is kind of king of just crazy Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. In both GTA 5 and Red Dead Redemption, there are UFOs. The one in GTA is a lot harder to get. You have to like 100% the game and do like a bunch of specific stuff. But in GTA 5, one of my favorite ones is, I think you have to 100% the game to do this, but there's like a beast man that you'll see a bunch of, or like get rumors of him or whatever. And if you follow these rumors down, or it's like, I don't know, there's something, there's... Okay, so that game has so much shit in it. There are, and I'm trying to remember how it goes, but I know there are peyote plants. Yeah. And if you eat the peyote plants, you turn into an animal. Like, you control this animal as you like run around in the GTA world. And I think once you get all of those is when this unlocks, and you can go to like a specific place, and then you see this werewolf beastman thing, and he looks like the werewolf from Teen Wolf. He's got like a varsity jacket on. Varsity? And stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I guess if you catch him or something, I don't remember exactly what it is. If you catch him or kill him or something, you turn into the Beastman and you can run around in like this super rage and just like punch people and kill them in one hit and all this stuff and do a bunch of crazy stuff. He like jumps really high and stuff. But in Red Dead Redemption, there are like the UFOs, and there's like a witch's hut with like a brew, like a potion brewing. There's like a giant skeleton. It's like probably 20 foot tall skeleton up in the mountains. Just a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I think one that I kept running into in GTA 5 was that there's like a serial killer hunt. You can like find notes and stuff from this serial killer that like lead you to him.
Speaking of Teen Wolf, another Easter egg. Did you know there's an extra that pulls his dick out in one of the in Teen Wolf?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an Easter egg or someone being an asshole?
I why can't it be both?
Yeah, I have seen that.
That's funny. Is he in the background of like a basketball game?
The they're at a basketball game. He's standing like really high up on the bleachers. You can only see like his stomach down, and he's got his fly unzipped, and he just boop, and it goes back in.
And they left it. I saw something about that recently. Yeah, they probably didn't.
Yeah, then he puts like his jacket over it, and yeah, he goes on. There you go. There's an Easter. I think that's an Easter egg.
Did you just show it, Clinton?
No.
Then this would be a super explicit stream.
Oh, here we go. Well, I guess it wasn't recently. 2015, on his 30th anniversary, debunking Teen Wolf's greatest rumor. Yes, it's the penis thing. In parentheses. From the AV Club. What is the real story?
I'm looking at a dick right here, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
It's a lady. It's not even a guy.
Yeah, that's what I heard, is that it's a woman.
Well, this woman's got a dick-like figure in her crotch.
Are you looking at a doctored photo, Neil?
I'm looking at somebody watching it. Honestly, this could be it. This could be a deep fake. Now I'm looking at somebody watch it on record it from their TV.
Someone's zipper is definitely still down.
Oh yeah. What else you got?
I don't know. This was terrible about debunking it. It was just awful. For my Easter egg, I wanted to pick a game that I had played and didn't know about the Easter egg, so Neil knew about it. So in Borderlands 2, there is an area where there's like a secret cave, and you go into, and suddenly all the blocks, there's like a wall of really blocky dirt, like in Minecraft, and you have to hit them, and you get past that, and there's more blocks that have like the gold block that look like the gold blocks from Minecraft. You hit them, some money will come out and stuff. But one of the enemies is actually a creeper. You fight creepers and you shoot them, and they have the health bar like a enemy would be in Borderlands. And I guess if you kill them and if you go through enough and look around, you actually get a Minecraft head as a skin. So like you get Steve.
You get a black head.
Yeah, so that's where I was saying. Like, I think that's part. Like, it's cosmetic. It changes what your character looks like. But it's still an Easter egg overall. I had no idea that was there, and it's a pretty big area for like a little, you know, thing for the cosmetic. What I couldn't find was why.
Like, no, I was trying to find any interview on it as well, and no, like there's no correlation between 2K and who makes
Mojang, right?
Mojang, yeah.
Yeah, or Microsoft.
Or Microsoft. The biggest correlation I could find is that they were two of the biggest games in, you know, that period. In the that would have been the early late. What's the 2010s?
Yeah, I think Minecraft came out in 2011. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, how do they get the rights to use the likeness to a creeper and all that stuff? Did they get permission? Did they just do it and no one gave a crap? Like, I could not find anything on it. So that's something I'm interested in, is what gave birth to that Easter egg.
I mean, I don't think there's any disrespect in there, so I wonder. I'm sure they asked, but right. I don't think that only increases awareness of Minecraft, so I don't see why they would object.
Yeah, I just wanted to know. It was just shocking that I couldn't find a single thing of like, why Minecraft? Why is there a Minecraft area in the game? How did that come about? So, and yeah, as Neil mentioned before, Minecraft is, or not Minecraft, Borderlands is pretty big on references and Easter eggs and stuff, so not a surprise. But that's the thing, is most references in Borderlands are very tongue-in-cheek joke, right?
Yeah.
So you fight characters that look like Penn and Teller, but they're not straight up Penn and Teller. They just are a reference to Penn and Teller. Or like Neil said with the Double Rainbow guy, like, it's all very like jokey kind of stuff, but you just get dropped into an area that is just Minecraft. It's very out of character for them.
Yeah. That is a mystery. I wish they would come out and say anything, but we didn't talk about why Easter eggs started. If you've read Ready Player One, you kind of know the background of it. But it was for Atari's Adventure, released in 1979. Back then, video game developers didn't get credited. So it was created by a label. It was created by a company, not a person. So essentially, I think at the end of the game, and Adventure, this is an Atari game, you are a square pixel that navigates itself through this Atari game. It's obviously super early days. It is minimal as hell. If you find a certain corridor, I think it's towards the end, and just keep moving, you'll come across text that just vertically says, created by, what's his name, Robert something? Or no, created by Warren Robinette.
Yes, I do remember that now.
And he was not supposed to be credited. He put that line of code in itself, which I think, what they say, it came to a whopping, it ate up 5% of the cartridge's storage space just doing that. But it had already been printed. So instead of, remaking every game, costing Atari tens of thousands of dollars, they just shipped it. And thus we have the Easter egg, but that's the first known one.
In games.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mine was, I don't know if mine's controversial anymore based on our varying definitions, but if you've ever played the Portal games, very, very linear. I'm sure you can be curious about what's happening around you, but the goal is survive, you know, place your portals, figure out the puzzles, get to the end of the game. It's story light. You're so infatuated with the wonderful writing in the Portal franchise and this evil GLaDOS, the evil testing robot, who is both hilarious and
sinister.
Yeah. But throughout the Portal franchise, and this is where I'm wondering where, if our definitions differ, you can find these off rooms, sometimes by placing sneaky portals through like ventilator fans. Sometimes they're a little easier to find than that, but they're never behind, made like that.
Piston door walls,
behind things. Piston doors. And you'll find in the first one, you find a lot of, it's basically just like mad rantings of what you assume, or what I assumed, were other test subjects, because GLaDOS refers to other test subjects, and they're like, no one gets out alive, and just, it's in this weird kind of it's very juxtaposed to the weird sterile white and blue and scientific nature of the Portal games, especially the first one where all the shit hasn't gone down and you're kind of in pristine, you know, futuristic gray and white labs trying to figure out all these portals with futuristic technology. And then you go and you start getting some like some thriller sci-fi shit. And as you go through one, not much story comes out of them. And this is where I'm wondering, how we classify this. Cause the first one, most of them are just like hidden dens where you can find cool art. And cause a lot of them have like murals on top of the mad rantings. But then, you find out, I try to forget where this happens in the franchise. But this is like one just huge Easter egg. First of all, you work for Aperture Science, who this game is developed by Valve, who is famous for making Half-Life. And in Half-Life, their scientific competitor, is Aperture Science. Mm-hmm. And in some of their dialogue, they talk about kind of how reckless Aperture Science is with some of their experiments. And throughout both the portals, they give nods to, and again, this isn't story. This all comes from quips and stuff that just like, they test on human subjects. Ha ha ha. That's like, you will probably die as many before you have died. Here's smooth jazz. And the joke always takes you away from the creepy part of it. Right. So they kind of tied it in with their own biggest game. And then at the end of one, I think the famous one you find is the cake is a lie.
Right.
Everybody knows the cake is a lie. That was a huge meme. It also plays off the song at the end that everyone knows. But in the second one, it's a little cooler because at the end of the first portal, everything blows up. You get the last cutscene is you being dragged away by something while you're outside of this lab. You don't really know what, and then you fade to unconsciousness. In the next game, you wake up in a cryogenic like slumber. And in this game, it still has all of the kind of little hidey holes, but you find out it's and actually not in the game, but in a comic that was released outside of the game, you find out this guy's name is Douglas Ratman, I believe. So they started calling him the Rat Man. And through this, you actually get a little more story about what went on behind the scenes. And you find out Gladys on Bring Your Cat to Work Day. There's a line of dialogue where Gladys, they're talking about how they've just fixed her and her evil tendencies. And she's like, yeah, great. I will require two things. A bring your cat to work day. I will bring the box for the cats and just a little neurotoxin. And so eventually you find out what they assumed as evil scientists was an experiment with the cats. She guessed everybody. And this Douglas Ratman was the only one to get away. You find out that he is a paranoid schizophrenic, and he has this medicine that he needs to take to stay grounded. And he's in surviving this attack. He's run out of it and he can't get out of the building. So he's kind of this invisible hand guiding Chell, the main character in the second game. You'll see like human carved arrows when you're off the path. Like in the first game, you follow paths. It's very set. You're in this pristine building. There are arrows that tell you where to go next. In the second one, the building is in disarray, and sometimes you have to go off into like just random corridors and stuff, and you find instead of like actual decals, like red scribbled arrows and stuff. So he's this cool character that you've never met, and they never mention him in a game, just in this offshoot of a comic. One of the more interesting ones I found was if you bring, there's kind of debris scattered everywhere, and you can pick it up with your portal gun. If you bring a radio to two of these locations, one of them, there's something scribbled on the wall. You're a lucky sucker. No, you're a lucky loser. It's something like that, but it's a reference to the national song. And it starts playing like a lo-fi version of the national song on the radio. If you find
that's
the,
weird,
yeah. The other one is it starts playing this weird kind of like space radar, like sonar kind of frequency, and it triggers a TV, a monitor, and then you see a companion cube. Those lovely little cubes with the hearts on the moon next to an American flag.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's spoiler alert. You beat the boss in Portal 2 by literally going to the moon.
Right.
In the middle of the boss fight, like the ceiling breaks up at night and you can see the moon and you shoot a portal all the way up there and shit happens. But that's where it is theorized that Douglas Rettman escaped
to the moon.
Yeah. There's a bunch of other really funny ones. Like there's a monitor that's just like scrolling Matrix text, but someone slowed it down and it's just all cake recipes for different types of cakes.
That's great.
There's one where I think it's during the first boss fight. The screens, you're fighting Gladys and she's surrounded by a couple screens and they're just flashing, kind of, what's the word I'm like, just like, what's the end of the world? Apocalyptic images, like really evil shit. But someone again slowed it down and there's like perfect little birthday cakes hidden in corners and stuff. There's also something called Black Mesa, which is the company in Half-Life, which is Aperture Science's rival. But yeah, it was fucking loaded. And if you don't already know, if you haven't already played the game, it is infamous for having wonderful dialogue if you just play it regular. And then a lot of the times, if you just wait, they have written 20 minutes of extended just like, what are you doing? Okay, we can wait here forever. I live longer than you. I'm a robot. Okay, I'm getting angry. Okay, you need to start. Just on and on and on.
I remember that happening because it's like, it's not really a game you have to pause because there's not like danger that will roll up on you or anything. And I remember hearing those and waiting and listening to those.
Diving into this again has made me so happy that I already owned the first one, but I haven't played it in years. I bought the second one because I want to relive it.
Yeah, I think I might play the first one again soon after maybe after Mario. So
yeah, we got to do the co-op. The co-op for Portal 2 is really fun too,
which I've never done.
Really fun.
Never done. All right, anything else on Easter eggs before we go?
No, this was keep it right, keep it tight. That was a good hour.
It was good. It was tight, fun.
Some tight fun, man.
Tight fun.
Do you kids want to buy some drugs?
So thanks for joining us this week. I'm stretching out. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with a new topic and talking about new video games. Please follow us, Party Foul Games, on Twitter and Facebook. You can email us at gamegoosepodcast.com if you want to suggest a topic or have anything to say about previous topics. Every Monday, they play Dungeons & Dragons on Duck Duck Dice. I believe yesterday you had some scheduling conflicts, so not yesterday, but check that out every Monday at 7 p.m. right here on Twitch. And also, you can check out all shows on YouTube and in podcast form. Clinton, before we go, anything you'd like to say?
Have you guys found any of the Easter eggs I put in all the episodes this season?
No, I'm scared.
All right.
Yeah, I think he just whispers helter skelter under every one of my lines.
Clinton, or you're Clinton.
This I am.
Yep, Neil.
No, I'm doing good. Oh my god. Everybody love each other right now. No. Let's all live, laugh, love, and learn and wear traveling pants.
All right. Sounds good, everybody. I'll see you next week. And thanks for listening. See ya.